listening to Faith and Family. I'm Eddie Bates. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. Thinking about making plans for spring break, where to head, what to do during spring break, always looking for something that the family might enjoy. Maybe you have young children or children in middle school or high school. What might be something fun you could do during that spring break time, or planning a family trip over the next few weeks, next few months, or maybe even thinking ahead to the summer? We have some ideas for you that might help you with that, and something that would be educational and a great learning experience for the whole family as well. We're going to talk with our friends from the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, Answers in Genesis, here on Faith and Family. Joining us by phone today, Eddie Lutz. He's Promotions Representative for Answers in Genesis. Eddie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's good to be here.
Eddie, tell us a little bit about, let's start with the Creation Museum. Where would we find the Creation Museum?
Sure. The Creation Museum is located in the northern Kentucky, greater Cincinnati area. We're actually only 7 miles from the airport in that region. And it's a wonderful family stop for your spring break.
Well, very good. Very good. Give us a little history of the Creation Museum.
Sure. The Creation Museum actually opened almost 10 years ago. Actually, this spring we'll mark our 10-year anniversary, Memorial Day weekend. And so much larger attraction than people really would understand. It's actually a 70,000 square foot facility with world-class exhibits inside.
Now, what's your elevator speech when someone when you're trying to explain to someone what the Creation Museum is, who perhaps has never heard of it before? How would you describe the Creation Museum and what you might encounter there?
Sure. The Creation Museum is actually a walk through biblical history, beginning with the very first verse of Scripture. So, as I mentioned, it's filled with world-class exhibits, and each one will take us through God's creation. So, literally, we walk through what we call the seven C's of history: creation, God's perfect creation; corruption, how man's sin marred that creation; catastrophe, the flood of Noah, which shows how God judged that corruption; confusion, the Tower of Babel, which explains races, people groups; all of that, Genesis 1 to 11, giving the true history of Scripture in order to present those last three C's, which is the gospel of Christ, the cross, and consummation. That's the core of the museum. There's a lot of other side exhibits and things that we can certainly talk about, but that's the meat of it. That really is what you're coming for.
So let's talk about some of those exhibits that you would find in the Creation Museum. That what are some of the highlights? Well, for you, we'll start with your some of your favorites.
Sure. Well, I'll mention two that are my favorites. One is a video that we have called the Last Adam Theater. And that is actually shown several times throughout the day. And that is the presentation of the gospel. That's the last three C's. So everything kind of leads to that presentation. So for me, that's key. That's the most important exhibit. Another one that I think families in particular would really love is the petting zoo outside. And the reason I say that is the petting zoo at the Creation Museum actually has animals in it that most have never seen in their life. We actually have a zonkey, a half zebra, half donkey, a zorse, a half zebra, half horse, and a horizo, which is a cross between an alpaca and a llama. And very unique creatures, obviously, but they're to teach an important lesson on animal kinds and understanding that whole concept. So that's one that a lot of families with young children especially will really enjoy.
You brought up a good point that one of the things that the museum does, the Creation Museum does, is teaching about, with the animals, teaching about animal kinds. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Sure. When you think about, and of course we're going to talk about the Ark Encounter, but when you think about Noah's Ark, one of the number one questions that we ask is, well, how do you get all those animals on the Ark? Well, the answer to that question is really twofold. One, it's immense, and we'll talk about that when we talk about the Ark Encounter. But the bigger answer is, Scripture says two of every kind of animal, not two of every individual species. So Noah wouldn't have needed donkeys, zebras, horses, etc. on the ark. He would have needed two of that kind of animal. Usually in biology, that would be at the family level. You know, you have species and phylums and all that, but it usually at the family level. Basically, animals, in the most part, animals that will mate together. And so we have that on display right there at the Creation Museum.
So a zonkey and what were the other ones you said?
We have a zonkey. His name is Cletus. We have a zorse. Her name is Zoe. And we have a horizo as well.
Which was a llama and?
Alpaca.
Alpaca.
Llama and alpaca, which are actually part of the camel kind. In fact, we don't have one of these, but you can actually mate a camel and a llama. It's called a comma. Sorry, I didn't make that up.
So those are two of your favorite exhibits at the Creation Museum. As you describe what you might see walking through the Creation Museum, I had a chance to visit last year, and I enjoyed it. But just in the short time that I was there, I was not able to experience everything in the Creation Museum. It's something that when you're planning a trip for this, and we'll get to planning in just a little bit, but when you're planning a trip to the Creation Museum, you want to make sure that you allow for plenty of time.
Absolutely. A couple exhibits. Let me mention one other that I didn't mention that most people tell me is their favorite exhibit. We'll start there.
Okay.
And that is the planetarium. We actually have a digital HD planetarium, and the primary show is called The Created Cosmos. And what that does, it's a digital HD planetarium. You lay back in the seats, and it really measures the known universe, both in distance and dimension, all declaring the glory of God, which is why I think it's everyone's favorite exhibit, because it really focuses on God rather than on the creation itself. We see the creation, certainly, but the real focus is on God's glory. And I think that's why people enjoy it so much. To answer your question, as you begin to walk through, it's a very visual experience. So people ask me, well, should, you know, what age group should go? And really from the youngest ages, it's such a visual experience that they're going to get a lot out of it, regardless of how old they might be. But when you walk into the Seven Seas of History, the first thing you're going to see is one of the most important exhibits, and it's very visually stunning as well, in that it's a paleontological dig site with two paleontologists digging up a raptor skeleton and discussing how our worldview or our starting points really affect even the way we look at the data. And that really leads into a further discussion on that. But you're going to see so many things like the building of the ark itself inside, which is actually only 1/100th the size of the actual ark, which, of course, we've now built. One of my favorite exhibits, and I didn't mention this one. In fact, I think this is my favorite exhibit, is we actually have a fossil of an allosaur. An allosaur, which means other lizard, is similar to a Tyrannosaurus rex, a little bit smaller, a little bit longer arms. But the specimen that we have is actually one of the top 3 to 5 specimens ever found in all of history. And the skull, which is immense, and I don't have the actual measurements, but the extremely large, heavy skull sits in a case by itself. And the skull is 97% intact. So young families, anyone who loves dinosaurs will love to see this allosaur, which his name is Ebenezer.
Hmm. Very interesting. So I'm glad you pointed out that people of a variety of ages would benefit from visiting the Creation Museum. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it's very visual. What about some hands-on type of things?
Well, if you come on spring break, one of the things you're going to find, in addition to, I mean, certainly a lot of the exhibits are hands-on as far as taking quizzes in the ark, for example, on what you're learning and on a computer screen and more things like that. But in addition, we also have several workshops that go on throughout the day, sometimes with Buddy Davis, which will involve sculpting dinosaurs and more. And You know, each day that you come, there'll be a little bit different schedule. You can check that either on our website, or you can check that when you get there and see what kind of hands-on activities might be available on that given day.
What about when it comes to older kids, teens, or middle school students? Are there things that you think, exhibits that would specifically appeal to them?
Yeah, because it'll really make them think. When you're talking about older students, they're going to interact not just with the visuals that the younger children may interact with, but they're going to actually interact with the material in a big way. They're going to interact, for example, with the insectarium. We have an insectarium that's just absolutely fascinating with insects that you didn't even know existed, from rhinoceros beetles to metallic beetles to walking sticks and more. But there's a series of videos there, interactive videos, that they can key in and ask questions about the insect kingdom. And there's an animatronic that will actually talk to them and explain and interact with them on irreducible complexity and beauty in nature and so many other things. So I think your older teens are really going to interact with the material itself all the way through the museum.
All right. And other things that we need to think about if we're planning a trip to the Creation Museum. We have another site as part of Answers in Genesis we're going to head to as well in just a minute. You mentioned the Ark Encounter. But as we think about or prepare for the Creation Museum, things that we need to think about or start planning now?
Well, as far as planning, and I think this would be true for both the Ark and the museum together, a couple things you're going to want to look at. Number one is obviously getting the tickets themselves. And the best way to do that is actually online at either of our websites at creationmuseum.org or arkencounter.com. And the best way to do that would be to actually purchase what's called a combo ticket, where you can actually visit both of the attractions on that spring break. They're only 45 minutes apart from one another. So that's the first thing, is actually securing those tickets. And the best way to do it is online. At the Creation Museum, I already mentioned the event calendar. There's a link on that for planning your visit. It'll actually show what events are going on a given day at the museum. That would be helpful. And also, we partner with another company for actually hotel reservations as well. And there's a link off of our website to DAT Travel. That's DATTravel.com. And securing a hotel in the area on a spring break, which will certainly be a busy time of year, would be a good idea as well.
All right. Let's head over to the Ark Encounter from the Creation Museum. About how far away would that be?
Yeah, it's about 45 minutes away. And while the Creation Museum is in northern Kentucky near the Cincinnati Airport, the Ark Encounter is straight down I-75, which goes through between Cincinnati and Lexington. Like I said, about 45 minutes south, and that's right off the exit, very accessible.
All right, let's head to the Ark Encounter. Now, this is fairly new, just opened this past year.
It did. We opened on July 7th of this year, so we opened in the middle of what really is our peak season, and we've actually seen hundreds of thousands of people who have already visited at the Ark Encounter, which has just been an amazing blessing. And we continue to grow and expand. We even have new exhibits opening next week.
How would you describe the Ark Encounter to someone who's never seen it or heard of it before?
Immense. The Ark Encounter is the largest timber frame structure in the world. And when you first arrive at the Ark, you'll park in the parking lot. You'll actually take a shuttle bus into the park itself. And the way I describe it to people is the moment of the day is when you make a final right turn and you see the Ark for the first time. And it's one of my favorite experiences that when I go down there about 2-3 times a week, is hearing the gasp on the bus, because people just cannot believe how big this is. And to see it for the first time. So it's actually built to the specifications in Scripture. It's 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, and 51 feet high. And stands about 15 feet off the ground. And while people have seen pictures, and they may have even seen some of the video drone footage that we put out, until you've actually stood next to the Ark, you can't imagine. It's that massive. So for most of the guests that I've interacted with, that's what they take away, is just the immensity of the whole structure. While at the Creation Museum, they may talk about specific exhibits. I liked this one or that one. At the Ark, it's the entire structure itself that really seems to capture their imagination.
So you see the Ark as you're approaching on the bus coming into the park area. What mm-hmm. are some of the first things you encounter at the the Ark encounter?
Yeah, when once you've seen the entire structure, and let me talk about some of the things outside first before we go inside. But there are actually some new exhibits that are being worked on right now. Where construction is going on constantly, but we're actually building right now what we're calling both the East and West Village. And those are villages as you approach the Ark, and it'll have a working blacksmith shop, wood shop, entertainment stage, food vendors, things like that. And that'll probably open in late spring. But, there's a man-made lake in front of the Ark, so it kind of looks like it's resting on water. When you go inside, the first whole, there's three levels to the Ark, as Scripture states. And each level, has a little bit of a different theme to it. The first level really is to bring you into the experience. You know, so when you first come in, you're going to see row after row of animal cages, small animal cages, and you'll hear the animals rustling inside and see how Noah might have fed the animals, watered the animals, dealt with waste products, things like that. So you're coming into the whole experience, and you'll walk through all that, but then you'll come to the first real exhibit, which is an animatronic of Noah praying with his family. So they're all gathered together praying for God's protection, provision. You can see the lightning flashing behind them. You can hear the claps of thunder. The Ark is packed and ready to go. And then as you go through the remainder of that first level, you're going to see numbers of medium-sized animal cages where you can actually see handcrafted models of animals that look more lifelike than taxidermy inside the cages. And some of these animals represent animal kinds that we would be familiar with. And some of those animal models are actually extinct, but would be from the fossil record. And so you'll see both represented on that first level of the Ark.
What are some of the other things as you walk through the Ark that you'll see, that you'll even get to, that's interactive, that you get to touch, that will really bring home that lesson?
Sure, absolutely. As you go through that first level, and that's what you see and explore, but there are some massive ramps in the center of the Ark in order to accommodate the guests that we have. So you'll go up the ramps to the second level. And the first exhibit that you come to is actually an exhibit of the pre-flood world. So in some ways, it's a little bit of a recap of the Creation Museum in that it shows God's perfect creation and then man's descent into sin. Beautiful artwork, beautiful dioramas in that area. And all of that leading to God's judgment through the flood. So that's the first thing you're going to see. And the way I describe that to people, while the rest of the Ark is kind of the what of the flood, this exhibit is the why. So it's very important that we see it and understand it. As you come out of that, now you're going to see on that second deck, row after row after row of medium and large size animal cages. Again, with some animals we're familiar with and some that would be presumed extinct. And, you'll see several juvenile sauropod dinosaurs, for example, and see how they may have been able to be on the Ark. You'll see two juvenile T-Rexes in one of the cages. So, again, you see this is very, very plausible. You'll see giraffes, which it's ideal that giraffes are there, since normally we see the Ark with two giraffes sticking out the top. It has a bathtub, so we can actually see them actually on the Ark itself. So you'll see all these cages. But along the way, you're also going to see a number of exhibits that will explain the what of the flood. So we'll talk about how many animals actually would have been on the ark, and delve into that whole concept of animal kinds to really get a good handle and an actual number of how many animals might have been on the ark itself, how they might have, how Noah and his family might have fed the animals, how they might have cared for them. We'll look at a woodworking shop. We'll look at a blacksmith shop actually on the ark. Very interactive exhibit that you met, that you were asking about, I think would be ideal. We actually have an animatronic of Noah, and we have one similar at the museum, but the one at the ark, state of the art. But we have an animatronic of Noah sitting at a desk on the ark itself. And he's hooked up to a touchscreen monitor with 14 questions that you can walk up and key in questions for him. And he'll talk to you and answer the question in tremendous detail. And even on a slower day, you can't even get near him because he's there's just people will just flood, pun intended, around him. And that's a wonderful interactive exhibit that everyone will enjoy. But then again, we deal with hard questions. The questions was, why does a loving God allow suffering and death? Was he just to destroy the world with a flood? And then one of the most important exhibits of all on this second level is the one door. We have the massive door of the ark that God commanded Noah put one door in the side of the ark. And this was the door that they came through to be saved from physical harm, in the same way that Jesus says in John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone comes through me, he will be saved. So that's a major picture spot for many people where they get their picture taken at the one door of the ark.
You mentioned earlier that, caring for the animals and what Noah and his family might have used to, how they might have fed them. What is that effort like for the crew at the Ark Encounter, taking care of all the animals that are kept on the Ark Encounter and feeding them? What does that operation look like?
I'll be honest, I don't know it intimately. But let me share this. I mentioned that we have a petting zoo at the Creation Museum. We also have a zoo at the Ark. And in fact, on that second deck, we even bring some of the live animals onto the Ark now for kind of an interactive experience during the midday. So there's an area where we have a hands-on encounter in the Ark itself. But most of that is out at the zoo. And the zoo at the Ark Encounter is already a pretty nice size, but we already have plans to double it in the future. That will not be ready by this spring, but that's something that's in the works already, is doubling the size of the zoo. But the current zoo, we have four camels. We do camel rides. We do donkey rides. I don't know how many. We 6 to 8 donkeys at least. We have kangaroos. We have llamas. We have alpacas. We have emus, ostriches, goats, yaks, and some kind of large donkeys or mules. We had zebras. One of them actually gave birth in November, but they were on loan, so we had to send them back. But those animals are cared for by a large crew of zookeepers. What's all involved from an intimate standpoint, I do not know, but certainly feeding for them, caring for them, but also doing a lot of animal enrichment exercises as well with them so that they're used to having guests around and so much more.
How do we prepare for a trip to the Ark Encounter? What are things that we need to consider when planning for this trip and making reservations now as well?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much identical to what I said about the Creation Museum. In fact, I would do them together and do it as that combo ticket. But the big things would be this. I would say get your tickets online at either website, arkencounter.com. The combo ticket will give you the best savings for your family. Working possibly with Dat Travel to secure a hotel in the area, because especially down at the Ark Encounter, there are not a lot of hotels right in that area. There are within 20 miles either way. But right in that area, it's more of a rural area. So you want to make sure you go ahead and book your hotels early. One thing we didn't mention, and this would be helpful, plan a day at each. Don't try to do them both in the same day. It's possible, but give yourself a good 5 to 6 hours at each location to really experience it and you know, fully. One thing, and we didn't mention this, one thing at the Ark Encounter in particular, but both venues actually have dining options, restaurants, that kind of thing. But at the Ark Encounter, it's we have what's called Amzara's Kitchen, and that is a two-story, 1,500-seat restaurant right next to the Ark, which is dwarfed by the Ark, but 1,500-seat restaurants, one of the largest seating capacities of any restaurant in America. And that we just converted a couple months ago to a buffet. So you can do a very inexpensive family buffet, either for lunch or for dinner, when you visit.
So there's certainly something for at both sites that can really accommodate the families of any size, any age as well.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Very good. And what's the website again to start making plans?
Yeah, the Ark Encounter is www.arkencounter.com. And the Creation Museum is www.creationmuseum.org. And again, when you purchase tickets, you can do that from either location. So you're going to buy the combo rather than, you know, go to each one. But the combo ticket will be the best way to go, but you can get it either website.
Very good. Very good. And as you mentioned, really the best way to do it is allow yourself a day for each site if you're planning on
Absolutely,
making a visit.
Yes.
Yeah. To get the most out of it. Well, very good. Well, thank you so much, Eddie, for sharing with us about these two great destinations, part of Answers in Genesis, a great way for the family to do something fun together over spring break or even the summer, do some learning as well. Sounds like a lot of fun. Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum. And just make your plans now so you can lock out that time on your calendar. Get out there and have some fun as a family. Do some learning as well. Eddie Lutz, Promotions Representative for Answers in Genesis. Thanks so much for being my guest today.
You're very welcome, Andy. Thank you.